Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. So we've just read Zechariah 10. And so in Zechariah 10, it illustrates a picture of Israel's fall and restoration. So we'll start in verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord in the time of the latter rain, so that the Lord shall make bright clouds and give the showers of rain to every one grass in the field. And this chapter begins with the prophet urging the nation of Israel to appeal to Yahweh. It reads, "Ask ye of Yahweh." The first phrase, brothers and sisters, is an exhortation to us. So often we find ourselves in times of trouble and we panic. We look everywhere. We call our boss, our friends, and maybe even brothers and sisters. But how many times do we stop and take a minute to ask of Yahweh? This should be our first course of action in any time of distress. So continuing, "Ask ye of Yahweh rain." Rain is something that is out of control of man's hands, and so, as so many things are. In our busy lives today, it's easy to get caught up in depending upon our own selves. We can easily slip into the mindset of thinking we control more than we actually do in our busy lifestyles, especially as city dwellers live. In contrast, a farmer is in constant awareness that his successes and his failures depend on so many things completely outside of his control, such as the weather, pests, rodents, many things that are, and many other things that can ruin an entire year if the farmer perfectly carries out the tasks that are within his control. Zechariah speaks of rain and that Yahweh will make bright clouds. It is the lightning that makes the clouds bright, so here we are given a picture of a storm full of lightning. Once rain is poured out to nourish every one grass in the field, while at the same time the power and glory of Yahweh's is demonstrated with every bolt of lightning set down to the earth. This paints an amazing picture of the end times, which the Spirit will be poured out in nourishment, along with the vengeance and justice that is due to the world. Picking up in verse 2, "For the idols have spoken vanity, and diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams." Verses 2 summarize the causes of Judah's fall. Among the list are idols, diviners, false dreams. In short, it can be said that they put their trust in anything but Yahweh. The word for idols is teraphim. They are thought to be tiny household ornaments which divine entities reside, much like the ones you see in the Virgin Marys that you see in a lot of Catholic homes. The word for diviners in Hebrew is gesem, which is signified to cut or divide. What these did was, it was the idea of being a diviner, was they'd cut open an animal, and the observation that they saw in his inner parts would be regarded as the omen in which they could forecast the future. Continuing in verse 2, "They comfort in vain, therefore they went their own way as a flock, and they were troubled because there was no spirit." False dreamers or false prophets, which Zechariah says comfort in vain, are not distant from the false dreamer motivational speakers of today, such as Joe Oglestein and whatnot, that tell you that you can have anything you want in this world because God wants you to have it. They comfort indeed, but only in vain. The state of affairs is summarized by Zechariah in the phrase, "There was no shepherd." This was a moral relativism where every man did what was right in his own sight, much like today, and consequently people were troubled. In verse 3, "My anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock of Judah, and hath made them as goodly horses in battle." In the King James Version, this is written in the past tense, as if it has already happened. In the Revised, it reads in the future tense, which points to the end times. The goats will be the stubborn, self-willed false leaders. The flock of the house of Judah will be a disciplined and restored nation prepared for battle. Verse 4, "Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together." The corner is obviously a reference to Christ, the cornerstone or chief stone. The battle bow speaks of the skillful and successful military campaign led by Christ. Every oppressor should be actually rendered every ruler together, which foreshadows the nations of the immortalized king priest who will go to battle with Christ. Chapter 5, "And as they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire and the streets in the battle, and they shall fight, because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. The riders on horses, which shall be confounded, will be the Gentile kings confounded at the amazing accomplishments of the restored nation of Judah. Continuing in chapter 6, and I will strengthen the house of Judah, I will save the house of Joseph, I will bring them again to place them. I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as I had not cast them off, for I am their Lord God, and will hear them. Continuing in 7, and they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it, and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. Looking in Manfield's commentary, he notes that the house of Judah refers to the people presently dwelling in the land, while the house of Joseph refers to those in exile. He also notes that Ephraim is the northern tribe scattered throughout the Gentile lands. Continuing in the 8th verse, I will hiss for them and gather them, I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. The phrase hiss in the verses 8 means to whistle or to be called. This will be the calling that will bring the lost tribes back to the Holy Land. And 9, I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. Turn again should actually be rendered return. The next verses here in chapter 10 will actually go into detail of the manner of their return. So in chapter 10, I will bring them again out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and I shall no place be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the depths of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the sepulchre of Egypt shall depart away. And these verses show how the Jews will be gathered from all parts of the world, but they will have to enter the promised land through the north and the south, so to be forced to cross the Euphrates or the Nile. The crossing of the river signify a national baptism for the Jews as they entered the land, as like they did when they left Egypt, passing through the Red Sea. And in conclusion, we have chapter 12, verse 12. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in His name, saith the Lord. Being strengthened, Yahweh speaks of the future conversion of the flesh to the spirit nature, where Yahweh will be manifested and redeemed, walking up and down the face of the earth as a perfect representative of the Creator, as a hope that we all share.